Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 41. Yoga sannyasa karmanam. Jnana sanchina samshayam. Atmavantam na karmani. Nibbananti dananjaya. Yoga. By devotional service in karma yoga. Sannyasta. One who has renounced. Karmahanam. The fruits of action. Jnana. By knowledge. Sanchina. Cut. Samshayam. Doubts. Atmavantam. Situated in the self. Na. Never. Karmani. Works. Nibandanti. Do bind. Dhananjaya. All conquer riches. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, the Prabhupada. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. Purport. One who follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, imparted by the Lord, the personality of God in himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. He is part and parcel of the Lord and full Krishna consciousness is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchina samchayam atmavantam nibhananti atmavantam nikarmani nibhananti dananjaya. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his work or his actions, whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self, thus he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita are
concerning the
position necessary to take up the process of devotional service. In other words, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Param. That one who becomes always or free from all hankering and lamentation and sees everyone as spiritual beings, then he becomes joyful and he can begin the process of actual real devotional service. And in summary, Krishna goes through that's verse number 54 of the 18th chapter. And the other 53 verses are the step-by-step process to come to the platform of becoming free from hankering, lamentation, and seeing everyone as a spiritual being. So it's not that we just wake up one day and no more hankering, no more lamentation, and we see the soul in everyone's heart along with the super soul. There's a science of coming to that platform. And we can take it step by step backwards and we can see how Pudya Vishuddhya Yukto Titatmana Niyamya Cha Shabda Din Vishan Tyakva Ragadvesha Vidasya Cha Vivikta De Shalagvasi Yatavakkaya Manasa Dhyana Yoga Pro Nityam Vairagya Samupashitya Ahankara Balam Darpam Kamakrota Purigraham Imucham Nirma Shanto Brahma Vuyaya Kalpate. Being purified by one's intelligence, controlling the mind with determination, one who gives up what? Close. I could also, one who gives up the objects of sense gratification, that's right. Being free from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always entranced and is detached, free from false ego, false strength, pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. A lot of things to do. You can get out your checklist and write up a to-do list. Rather long. And the other verses will break it down even more. But in any case, the main thing is divided into karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and bhakti yoga. And they're quite simple in one sense. Karma yoga, understand that everything belongs to Krishna. And that to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energies. In the previous yugas, then that was called when it was necessary, because in Satya Yuga, people didn't have to engage in the Varna and Ashram system. Those who were interested in self-realization were generally Paramahamsas, and they could just meditate directly in trance upon Krishna, which is the aim of the Varna Ashram system. On the other hand, in Treta Yuga, when the Varna Ashram system began, then he would have to go through a process of sacrifice to become eligible to meditate upon Krishna in trance. And when Dwarpa Yuga began, the people would have to not only, they first have to go through extensive deity worship before they became completely inspired to sacrifice all their energies in the service of Krishna so they can remain in trance, meditating upon Krishna. In this age, deity worship is introduced, but most people aren't interested in it, as we can see. And what to speak of sacrifice for Vishnu? They don't even believe in Vishnu. What to speak of knowing how to sacrifice for Vishnu? So in this age, Harinam Sankirtan is the means by which people will become convinced that there is Krishna. And therefore come to the platform, be able to sacrifice their energies in the service of Krishna, and then become eligible to meditate in trance upon Krishna. The process is always the same. The goal is always the same. Our aim is not just to chant Hare Krishna, it's to actually worship the form of the holy name and the form in the temple, because they're not different, and ultimately to become completely absorbed in sacrifice for Vishnu, and then be able to constantly think with him, about him in devotion, his name, form, quality, and pastimes. And the impetus for that in this age is the chanting of the holy name. That should bring us to the platform of becoming dependent more upon Krishna than on the material energy. Becoming more dependent on using the material energy in Krishna service than trying to utilize it for some other purpose, such as people sacrifice in karma yoga generally because they're promised rewards for it. They follow the Varnashram system. As Krishna says, Yami mam pushpitam vacham, pravanyu vipasicha vedavata rataparta nainam astiti varinam. Karmatmaka swagapara janmakaram palapradam kriya visheshu bhavulam bogaishwarya katim prati. Men of small intelligence, they're very much attracted to the flowery language of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation of the heavenly planets, result in good birth and power and so forth. Being desirous of such sense gratification, they say that there's nothing more than this. In other words, people do their duty and even do it for Krishna, for Vishnu, and sacrifice, but they want something in material reward in return. So the material rewards are there to encourage one to participate in serving Krishna, but they're not the objective. The objective is to serve Krishna. But generally people don't know that, and they think that material rewards are the objective, rather than service to Krishna. But we understand karma yoga is that we should do something for Krishna with our energies. We should have some purpose in life, and that purpose of life should be to serve the mission of Krishna. Krishna has a mission, and our purpose should be to fit into that mission. And in order to do that, we find out what Krishna's mission is and where everyone fits into it, because everyone has their unique abilities, their unique talents that fit into that mission. And then everyone becomes useful. That we don't have to, at the present moment, divide ourselves into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, because it wouldn't be very valuable anyhow. We already have enough designations. And besides that, we're not really supposed to, if we're not on the platform, that we're free from designations, it's actually not very good to add another designation. It'll even bewilder us more than we're already bewildered. Only when one is actually free from all designations can he actually safely assume the role of a Shudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin. That's what one really is. At the same time, retain one's Krishna consciousness. Right now, we're trying to become Krishna conscious, not trying to become Brahmins or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras. Now, those are not our real identities. So therefore, in this age, to sacrifice for Vishnu, to Lord Chaitanya's movement, we have a different duties. As Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 2, chapter 2, verse number 35, I believe. I think it's, yes, 35. Etaj sushushitam brahmams tayat tapatrikirshitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam. That in this age, if we have the ability to preach, we like to study, we like to learn things, we like to tell others, then we should tell people about Krishna. Try and convince people that Krishna is God. Not just so they can have a picture of Krishna on the altar, but they'll be willing to go through the process of becoming Krishna conscious. Which means, beginning with, they come and hear about Krishna, they become aware of what Krishna wants them to do, namely chant japa, for instance, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serve the devotees, try and make the house at least into a temple. And serve the deities there. Serve the devotees. So Krishna wants everyone in this age to do that. So we should tell people that. It's not a secret. It's the only means by which one people can actually live free from the influence of Kali Yuga. Without spiritual, being under the spiritual energy, then people are addicted to all kinds of sinful activities which degrade them and put them simply into suffering. So it's not like an alternative. You can do Hatha Yoga or you can chant Hare Krishna. Hatha Yoga will not protect people in this age. It may be good for an exercise. Prabhupada said he wrote a letter to my roommate because we were both doing Hatha Yoga when we joined. And Prabhupada said it's good for digestion. If you eat too much prasadam, it's good to do a little exercise. But that's not the goal of life. It's to digest our prasadam. In any case, we should tell people what the actual goal of life is, this process of devotional service, to become conscious of Krishna. Because by we hear about Krishna, we should do something so that we become conscious of Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna, we follow these principles, and then we learn how to live in the association of devotees so that we work intelligently to help innocent people become Krishna conscious. And we fulfill Krishna's mission. Krishna always has the same mission. Does anyone know what Krishna's mission is? According to this fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which we've read, three parts of Krishna's mission. What are the three aspects of Krishna's mission? Yes. That's right. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tridiskritam Dharma samstap anarataya sambhavam yuge yuge. To serve in Krishna's mission means to serve that those three causes. Establish religious principles, protect the devotees, and in this age, annihilate the ignorant misconceptions concerning our relation with Krishna, that there is no Krishna, but everyone's Krishna, etc. So that's our duty, to participate in those three missions of Krishna, aspects of his mission. Then the result of that, when we dedicate our energies to Krishna's mission and in order to please him, then we'll be established in bhakti yoga and we'll be able to think about Krishna constantly. The more one dedicates his energies in the service of Krishna's mission as the sacrifice for this age, as I said previously, people would were engaging in chanting, but the chanting has the aim of worshiping the holy name. And we worship the holy name in this age by participating in the sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna, Jagnai Sankirtana Yajna, Jagnai, Yantihi Samedasa, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna, Sangha Pangasya Varjana, Jagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yantihi Samedasa. The sacrifice in this age is the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement. So those who have knowledge, they should tell people about that sacrifice and convince them to participate in it. That will lead to the absorption in Krishna consciousness, which is the perfection of life. And for those who don't have that inclination, then they can utilize their talents for organization. Organize the Sankirtan movement. It's only effective if it's organized, especially organized in a balanced way. Generally, people who like to organize, they like to organize in the way that they like to organize. But it's not, in other words, everyone has their tendency, they like part of the Krishna consciousness movement because that's generally where they're attracted to. They like the part where there's worship, or they like the part where there's evangelism, or they like the part with devotee care. So they like different aspects, and they emphasize that. But better organization is like in a body, when you have a healthy body, you have all the organs working together to serve the whole body. So when everything is organized so that everything has its place and its proper place, when there's proper outreach, when there's proper inreach, when there's proper education, when there's proper program, everything fits together, then the body is healthy and it'll grow naturally without much endeavor, with less endeavor at least. Everyone will know what their place is, what they're just like some people like to take care of the devotees. So they should be in charge of the devotee care. Some people like outreach. They like to go out and sell things or convince people about Krishna. So they should be in charge of the evangelism part. Some people like to organize programs. So they should be in charge of the programs. So others like education. They like to instruct and educate and go deeper into the scriptures. So that's what they should be engaged in. But they should all be working together in balance because it's a progression. Unless one comes to the platform of hearing about Krishna through the programs, one will never be interested in the educational part. And if one is interested, unless one is interested in the educational part, one will not be interested in the devotee, one will not understand the necessity for outreach and devotee care and everything else. So everything works synergistically together to produce a holistic Krishna consciousness movement where everyone has their role and everyone is working to progressively advance Krishna consciousness for themselves and for others. Then the aspects of karma yoga, what our duty is, will be there. And if one is not, it doesn't have the talent for organization, is not interested in preaching or a presentation of Krishna consciousness, then one can work and utilize their hard-earned money for the sacrifice of the Sankirtan movement. because it also requires money. If it's going to spread dynamically, it requires a lot of resources. But after all, in other words, what everyone has a tendency to do, that one should utilize that tendency in the service of the Sankirtan movement. But after all, the goal is to acquire Katharuchi, a taste of hearing and chanting about Krishna, that when we hear and chant about Krishna, we experience Krishna. We actually come to the meditational part. We actually are actually Krishna conscious when we're engaging in these different activities, and we relish hearing and chanting about Krishna. But in the absence of that, one should utilize one's full tendencies, one's full in the service of the Sankirtan movement. And that will help bring one to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. If one is actually Krishna conscious, one doesn't have to, then one will most effectively be able to perform these services to Krishna and do them very dynamically. So we should know what the goal is, and we should see where our tendencies are, where we can fit in to that, into the Sankirtan movement, and especially those who have the intelligence should organize it in such a way that everyone fits in enthusiastically and the movement goes on progressively. And therefore we can go through karma yoga. Knowledge is automatically there when one is engaged in the service of Krishna. The more one thinks about Krishna, the more the knowledge is revealed to one. One becomes aware of Krishna and oneself and everything else in relation to Krishna. And eventually one will come to the platform of Nibandanti, Atmavantam Nikarmani. Then one will be situated in the self, and then one is not directed by the modes of material nature. One is simply inspired by Krishna and his devotees to become instruments of the Sankirtan movement. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you so much. Regarding the present situation in society, which is very awkward, could you kindly address the issue, and especially because devotees are also not immune to the situation in the world, which is really shaking our existence, so to speak. Can you address or advise also the devotees who experience this now, how to help themselves or how to react, how to use this knowledge or whatever is there to counteract their consciousness of them?
Well, 1975, I believe, Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Mayapur. And he just started Prabhupada himself started the conversation. He said, this whole civilization which is meant to keep people in darkness will soon come to an end with the next war. And everyone was shocked on the morning walk. He said, that war is coming very, very soon. And then Prabhupada described the whole war between Pakistan and India, how it was going to start, and how Russia and America would fight with each other, and etc. So the devotees were quite disturbed. They thought maybe they might even die in such a war. So Prabhupada's answer, when they said, what should we do? How should we prepare? Prabhupada said, we should prepare by to chant Hare Krishna. And then he explained that this idea that we might die today, if we don't die today, we'll definitely die in 20 years or 50 years. So we should prepare to chant Hare Krishna. Now, it doesn't mean we neglect. If we have an opportunity to safeguard ourselves physically or mentally, whatever, then we should take the necessary precautions. Just like we look both ways before we cross the street, especially when there's traffic. So we may take precautions, but our main precaution is to immune ourselves, get the immunization, from material consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping, following the process of devotional service. We should become serious about it. Because whatever happens in the material world, inevitably you have to leave our body, and whatever, how much we're prepared by becoming conscious of Krishna will be our success in life. So that's what we should do, become serious about Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, give up this desire to exploit the material nature or worry about how much we're going to be able to exploit the material nature. And at the same time, if there's some opportunity to have some safeguard in terms of, food or water or medicine, whatever might be necessary in the long time, it's always good. Rupa Goswami used 25% of his savings for emergency. So we should know what the emergencies possibly are, and we should be prepared for some emergencies. But the real emergency is death can come at any time. Probably you may die today or in 20 years, you're still going to have to die. So you have to be prepared for that. As I told that story the other day about death was in the marketplace. But death is in every marketplace. Not only in the marketplace in China, it's also in the marketplace in downtown Ljubljana. Anything else? Yes.
Krishna, I would like to ask, how do we know when we speak from false ego and when we speak from real ego, attitude to serve Krishna?
Well, if we're repeating Bhagavad Gita, then we're repeating Krishna's words. Now, we repeat Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or the words of those who are repeating those words. Now, our motivation is also important, but at least we should start there. We should see what's appropriate and repeat Krishna's words appropriately in order to please Krishna, to help people become conscious of Krishna, inspire them to become conscious of Krishna. So, before we do anything, we should meditate upon the fact that everything belongs to Krishna, including myself, and I should do something to please Krishna. So what Krishna wants me to do, I should think of what Krishna's authorities, what Krishna's representatives have told me I should probably do under these circumstances, this time, place, and circumstance, and audience, and then pray to the Super Soul within my heart that what would you like me to say or do? And when it becomes clear what Krishna wants me to do, then I should do it to please him. And then we're acting as Krishna's instrument. And if we don't go through that process, then obviously we're on some platform, our false ego is controlling the situation. If we're desiring the results, we want something back from what we're doing. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, nadanam, nadanam, nasundarim, jagat, bhagavat, jagatatisha, mama janmani janmani shre bhagavat tad bhakti ahait ki tvayi. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want wealth, he didn't want followers, he didn't want beautiful women, he didn't even want liberation. He only wanted Krishna's service. So our motivation is important also. Not only we should be humble, not only should we be tolerant, not only should we be respectful and appreciative, but we should also give up our desires for getting something from all these good qualities. In other words, sometimes people are very humble, they're respectful, they're tolerant, they honor others, they don't want honor, but they want wealth, they want followers, they want liberation, they want... So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want any of these things. So we should be aware of what our motivations are. Instead, we should try to humbly become a servant at the process that I outlined of Krishna, and then we'll become free from... That's the stage of nishtha. Then we'll become free from our false ego. And then real devotional service will begin. And we'll begin to desire to feel separation from Krishna. And we'll, one day we'll feel separation from Krishna. And then we'll actually become situated in pure love for Krishna. Is that all right? Yes.
I just add a little question regarding the previous one. Regarding the fear, fear is the most powerful feeling, which is very difficult to overcome. Can you advise them some practical steps how to become fearless or towards that direction?
Yes. Bhayam dvitiya viparyos riti. 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Fear is caused by our feeling of separation from Krishna. So the way of getting over that is to take shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna's instructions. Wherever we are, hear about Krishna, worship Krishna, become Krishna's devotee, surrender to Krishna. And the result is give up all other things and surrender to Krishna, and that then Krishna will protect us from all our problems, all our sinful reactions. And we should have faith in that. Krishna says, don't fear. And we should tell other people about that too. Then Krishna will be very pleased with us.
What if the faith of a devotee is not so strong that
chant more, read more. What's that?
How to increase faith in this situation which is so challenging?
Well, you have to practically chant Hare Krishna with some feeling. That's so nice. Queen Kundi said when there's difficulty, she welcomed it because that it gave her an opportunity to concentrate her mind more upon Krishna. And the more she concentrated her mind upon Krishna, the more she became free from all her problems. So these problems are welcome. They serve to let us know that our taking shelter of wealth, of beauty, of influence, of all these material achievements ultimately just makes us intoxicated and prevents us from actually feelingly chanting Hare Krishna. And therefore, getting free, these problems are actually welcome because they take our fever down of material existence. So it's Krishna's blessings.
And how can we serve other people in this situation? Devotees should be more fearless in this situation with faith. How can
Well, at least whoever you come in contact with, try to help them become Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious oneself, and whoever one has association with, try to inspire them to practice Krishna consciousness too. We're servants of the circumstances. Obviously, this is not the time to start a big Sankirtan party. So we do what we can under our circumstances.
What can we do according to your...
Chant Hare Krishna.
In front of the deities.
In front of the deities, you have deities in your home, wherever you are. Chant Hare Krishna. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Worship the deities, serve the devotees, and make the atmosphere spiritual. No one's going to stop us from thinking about Krishna, or worshiping Krishna, or surrendering to Krishna. So those things we can do. And when Krishna is pleased and reveals himself, then all our fear will go away. And we'll realize we're eternal. We'll realize Krishna is the supreme controller of everything. Everything is under his control. So there's nothing to fear. Because everything is perfectly organized by Krishna. And in this age, with the idea of, at least for now, helping to spread the Sankirtan movement, he's making all the arrangements. So the Sankirtan movement will become successful. We just have to agree to become part of it, and then we'll become fearful. Fearless. Everyone else will become fearful. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.